The Earl's irony was withering.
And then there's the consideration that with Diven safely out of the princedom, he's neatly deprived any potential resistance of a rallying point here in Coruscant,
Larchros pointed out.
Worse, Anvil Rock and Tartarian can claim they're actually looking after Diven's claim to the crown when they move to crush any resistance that does arise. Look at the cover it gives them. And if Diven is ever foolish enough to come back into Caleb's reach, he can always go the same way his father and older brother did, once Caleb decides he doesn't need him anymore. At which point we will get one of his damned favorites on the throne.
In a lot of ways, I don't envy Caleb the mouthful he's bitten off here in Coruscant,
Stormkeep said frankly.
Murdering the prince and young Hector was probably the stupidest thing he could have done, but Langhorne knows enough hate can make a man do stupid things. I can't think of any two men who hated one another more than he and Prince Hector hated each other either, especially after Harald was killed at Darko's Sound. And let's not even get started on how Charlian felt about the prince. So maybe he simply figured the personal satisfaction of vengeance was going to be worth any political headaches it created. And if he didn't know Diven was already out of the princedom, he probably figured controlling a little boy would be easier than controlling someone young Hector's age. So killing the crown prince may have seemed sensible to him, too, at the time. For that matter, as you just pointed out, Rajir, he could always have had Diven suffer one of those childhood accidents that seem to happen to unwanted heirs from time to time.
The Earl's expression was grim, and he shrugged.
But now he doesn't have Diven in his hands after all, and that leaves the entire situation in a state of flux.
"What do you think is going to happen, my lord?"
Yair asked quietly.
"In the end, I mean."
"At this point, I truly don't know, Father," the Earl said. "If the Regency Council can keep a lid on things for the next several months, and if Gerling and the other church traitors can cobble together some sort of smooth-seeming transition into this Church of Garrus, he may actually make the conquest stand up. I think the odds are against that, and, to be honest,"
he showed his teeth, in a smile which contained absolutely no humor.
"I intend to do everything I can to make them worse, but he might manage to pull it off, for a while at least. But in the long run..."
He shrugged.
"In the long run, as long as Diven stays free, there's going to be a secular rallying point for resistance. It may be located somewhere else, and any sort of direct contact between us and him may be all but impossible to maintain. But the symbol will still be there. It doesn't matter if the Regency Council claims to be acting in his name or not, either. As long as he's outside the princedom, and his council is obviously taking its orders from Caleb, its legitimacy is going to be suspect, to say the very least. And the same thing is true for Bishop Executor Thomas as well. As long as the true church's hierarchy remains, even if it's driven underground, then any effort to replace it with the Church of Carus is going to be built on sand. Eventually, Caleb and his cat's paws are going to find themselves face to face with a genuine popular uprising, Father. When that happens, I think they'll find their authority runs a lot less deeply than they thought it did. And it's the nature of that sort of thing that one uprising plants the seeds for the next one, whether it succeeds or not. So when the day comes that Caleb is forced to pull his troops off of Coruscantian soil and recall his ships from Coruscantian waters to deal with threats closer to home, I think those of us who have been planning and working and waiting for that day will be in a position to give him a most unwelcome surprise.